Beloved, so I have seen during these days in silence how devoted I have been to suffering and struggling. So much that I don't realize when the war is over. I see how I have bonded with people through suffering and identified being a parent with suffering. And in the last 5 years, so many changes have happened. I have been working so much with myself, and my life is upside down. I have felt I had so little support with my children. It has been like an era of single mother victimhood. But when I look around now, I see that something is over and something new has happened and is growing. The only obstacle is myself, my own trust deep down, because it is like I can't trust it fully. A small voice is still saying it will be payback time soon, or World War III. I'm longing so much for my heart and trust to really open. It is opening, but still fragile. I can feel your presence everywhere. When I assisted the primal group that happened here, I could see more of this place from the inside, and I saw how valuable it is. I felt respect and love for what is here, a place that can hold all the darkness when it comes out. I bow to you and this field of light that is growing around you. I feel immensely happy and grateful to be here. I allow myself to be here for myself and for you, beloved Swaha. Please help me to grow my trust. Please allow me to be here for you. Please allow me to be your disciple. With devotion, Sushma. When did you come first time, Sushma? In Brazil, no? Then something happened there. No, again, something more is happening. And that is good, because you have to be committed so you can change this old habit. You say you have seen how devoted I have been to suffering and struggling. That is the old habit. I want you to be devoted to freedom, to love, to peace. That's what you should be devoted to. But it's almost too good to be true. First you have to have a taste of it that you have had now. That's why everything is upside down. But the war is finished. Can you accept it? And how does it feel when the war is finished? Feels very open. What would you like to say when the war is finished? What comes to your mind? What comes to your throat? What you want to say when the war is finished? Yes. Yes. Yahoo, you want to say? Yes? Yeah. I'm helping you. Yeah, you are holding back. You can't hold back. You have to embrace the peace now. You're used to the war. Everybody has been devoted to suffering and struggling. So much so that I don't realize when the war is over. I see how I have bonded with people through suffering. And of course, you can only bond with other people in suffering, who is complaining, who has a hard time, when you are in suffering, because that's the only language you understand. If you are in suffering, you don't. If you have a war, you can't understand the language of peace. You're always on guard, no? You have to talk with others who have war. And they are not difficult to find, because most people have war. Most people are complaining. Most people are suffering. And then you bond very good together. So you can complain even more. How terrible life is. And there's no way out. And dig yourself deeper and deeper into the pit. So this is the habit. Now you have seen life in another new eyes now. You've been identified being a parent with suffering. And in the last 5 years, so many changes has happened. I have been working so much with myself. But it is something beyond working. You can work and work and work on yourself, but nothing will happen. You have to have the right climate. Otherwise, you always will be cold. This is the thing, when you see that things are changing, and it is changing, you really have to embrace it and jump in. Don't think twice, because you know where you come from, you know the suffering, you know the struggling, know the door is open, then run. But when I look around now, I see that something is over and something new has happened, and it is growing. And the only obstacle is myself, my own trust deep down. Yes, your only obstacle is still yourself, but now you see things. It's still new. And now you are aware that only you can hold yourself back. Nobody else is holding you back, because now everything is open. You are here now. No more excuses now. No more work even. I'm not for work, I'm for play. Much more fun. Work very heavy, heavy. The only obstacle is myself, my own trust deep down, because it is like I can't trust it fully. No, because it's very fragile, it's new. But it's real. A small voice is still saying it will be payback time soon, or World War III. And what small voice is that, you think?
It is my mind.
My mind.
Or my past.
Yeah. But do you want to listen to her?
No.
No. You know what happens then? that old bitch. Who enjoys so much suffering, complaining. You know that. No, of course. She says, Sushma, Sushma, come back. Listen to me. You have been so good. You have been such a good disciple of me for so long, listening, doing everything I said. No, turn your back. Turn your back and say, fuck you. Then she will go into shock. Because Sushma, you've always been so nice and listen to me. And you say, no, I'm not. I'm a wicked. I don't want to have anything to do with you. That's what you have to say. No, you know. And it's just a small voice. Before it was a big voice. So no, you know that it's shrinking. Then soon it will be gone. I'm longing so much for this, my heart and trust to really open. It is opening, but still fragile. But this longing, this will take you out of it, because now you have what you were missing, what you were longing for. It's happening. You are in the right climate for it to open now. And to be more creative out from that space, being yourself. I can feel your presence everywhere. Then what is the problem? And then I will be with you everywhere. Then, and then when you forget, then I will remind you. When I assisted the primal group, that happened, I could see more and more this place from the inside. You have to be an insider to see what is happening here. You cannot see it from the outside. From the outside, it can maybe look just like a madhouse. But from the inside, it looks like paradise. It seems like a miracle. You have to be an insider because you have to feel. From the outside, you just see from the mind and you compare. And what can you compare this to? Nothing. Then you will judge it. Anything you don't understand, you will judge. That's how people are. Because if they don't judge it, they have to accept that they don't know. And no arrogant ego people will say that they don't know. They all know. So they say, this is just a waste of time. They will judge you. You have to be an insider. And I saw how valuable it is. It is so valuable because it can free you. What is more valuable? But it's only valuable for someone who is longing for that. Ordinary people can't understand. Because they are not longing for the peace. They don't long for the clarity. I felt respect and love for what is here. A place that can hold all the darkness when it comes out. This is a safe place just to empty out everything. In whatever way. And I bow to you and this field of light that is growing around you. I feel immensely happy and grateful to be here. And the more you see the value of it, and the more you experience that in yourself, the more happy and the more grateful you will be. It goes hand in hand. It's just a sign that no, you have realized, you have felt it. And this value, you cannot measure in money and things. And that's why people don't understand it. It is the inner richness. I feel immensely happy and grateful to be here. I allow myself to be here, for myself and for you, beloved Swar. Please help me to grow my trust. I will help you, but you help me also. Please allow me to be here for you. Then we have to find something that you can do here, otherwise everything is fine here. I'm here for you. But you are waiting to get involved and do something, and you can do things. Now you can start enjoying doing things now, instead of out of work and suffering. Please allow me to be your disciple. You are asking to become a sannyasin. With devotion, Sushma. And this name Sushma, that must be from Pune, no?
No, it is from Risk in Denmark when I took the therapist training.
Yeah, but that is from the Osho. Very good. That was therapy training. This is a life training. Very good. Devadasya, where are you? All there. Cold. I'm also cold, but I'm here. Wait. Just since yesterday. That's how things happen. They just come like that, no? One day you find, next day you not find, like that. But otherwise, you okay? Hmm? Very good, no? Devadasya, you're so far away from me. Beloved, after struggling for several years over the issue of how to be creative, I saw clearly during the last retreat that everything creative comes from beyond the little me. It may come through this body or mine, and what a gift it is. But God knows how and when it comes. I studied a profession that required creativity. And when it was a demand with a deadline, I felt stuck with a lot of fear. How will I come up with something? And the fear stopped the flow of creativity. After telling myself this story for so long, I felt really tired of it and just accepted that I may never create anything. I can't do creativity and I can't claim it as mine. When we were in silence, I saw clearly that when I was silent inside, there was much more creativity coming. So clear, clean, perfect, in the moment, and playful. At your feet, Devadasya. Creativity can only come from the Creator. That is creativity, that is the ultimate creativity. So you study the profession, and that's what people are doing, even those who want to be.
I want to be creative, want to be an artist.
Hmm? I studied a profession that required creativity, and when it was a demand with the deadline, you have a deadline to be creative. If you're not creative by Friday, you just see, this is how society is, this is how the schools, the universities is. What are they teaching the children? What are they teaching the students? It's amazing. It's stress, unconsciousness from the very beginning till the end. From you start school till you finish school. That's what I call bad education. It doesn't matter if it's Oxford or wherever it is. I studied a profession that required creativity, and when it was a demand with a deadline, I feel stuck with a lot of fear. How will I come up with something? And the fear stopped the flow of creativity. You have to be a flow for creativity to happen. That is the mystery. You cannot do it. And many people do that. They paint beautiful pictures, they make music, they make poetry, they make sculptures, they dance. But they are not creative. It's a doing. Creativity comes from the beyond. And that's what you touched. That's why they call it God, the creator, no? You have to be in tune with the Creator. And how do you get in tune with the Creator? By getting out of your own way. By becoming silence. By becoming in tune. And when you are in tune, then you will get happy. Happiness and creativity go hand in hand. And that it doesn't even mean that you will create something. You don't need to create, that is just nonsense. You don't need to be a big poet or a big painter or a musician, no. You are part of creation, that's what the creator is. You are part of creation, of God's creation. Then you are happy because you are a part, you are feeling the creativity. Then whatever you do will be creative. You don't need to be a Van Gogh or a Nijinsky or a Mozart. No, you don't need to be that. You don't need to struggle. You can just be very creative with making your food, with cleaning the floor, with working in the garden, with going for a walk, by whistling, by drinking a cup of tea. That is the greatest creators. They share, they don't necessarily do something. What did Ramana Maharshi do? Nothing. But he created a lot. He ignited people. That is a totally different side of creativity. Ordinary people, they think it's just a bomb, it's useless. But look how many creative people, look what Osho, he must be the most lazy guy that ever been here. He and Lao Tzu must compete. But look how much creativity he created without doing nothing. How did that happen? Just because he was in tune with creation. And this creativity that they don't teach you in the university, they don't teach you in the school. Because nobody has it. You have to become silent. You have to be in touch with your own inner creation, with your life force. And only then it will come. After struggling for several years over the issue how to be creative. And this is how everybody, they have ideas. how to be creative, then even that becomes a struggle. Creativity comes from your silence. I saw clearly during the last retreat that everything creative comes from beyond the little me. It may come through this body or mind, and what a gift it is, but God knows how and when it comes. That's how it comes. Because, like I said, the greatest of the creativity is the mystics. Then you have some great poets, some artists that had created some beautiful thing that anybody who reads or hears it or sees it, they will get touched. Like Cahil Gibran, the prophet. But he's not enlightened, but something comes through him. That is the second. Something opens from the beyond. He is not there, it just comes through him. Then it becomes wow. It's almost like the mystics. Maybe better, most probably better than the mystics, because what they don't need to be a poet. Then, after that, scientists, thinkers like this. Once in a while, Einstein also, once in a while, he gets out of the way. They have many stories. When you give up, fuck it, I can't figure it out. Then he goes and have a hot bath. Then suddenly,
oh.
Because he relaxed and he gives up, just like Buddha. But Buddha, of course, on a totally different level, deeper level. But he got the glimpse. And when he's out of the way, when his brain is gone, when his whole personality is gone, then the creativity comes forth. After telling myself this story for so long, I felt really tired of it. And I just accepted that I may never create anything. I can't do creativity, and I can't claim it as mine. That is also another thing, you know, people claim it. And then only the ego can claim it. They are very proud. I'm such a great artist. I'm so good painter. And then it's a doing then, it's just an ego thing. When we were in silence, I saw clearly that when I was silent inside, there was much more creativity coming. So clear, clean, perfect in the moment, and playful. You came out over a great key there, Dasha. And that's what I'm trying to trick you into. So you're seeing your own well of wisdom, of creativity. And every meditator should be creative. Every sannyasin should be creative. They should make the world more beautiful, no? That's what you should do, make it more beautiful than what it was when you came. In whatever way. But again, it doesn't mean necessary to do something. It can just be your nature. Then you will share that automatically by being in tune. Creativity is happiness, and that's what people need. If you do something that you like, if you are committed to, then you will be happy. Like Sushma said, it's hard to believe that the war is finished. No. War is doing, but freedom is not doing. It is being. It's a totally different dimension. But everybody just knows doing, effort. you have ideas, even about creativity. But creativity comes from inside you, because you are creativity. You are creation itself. How can you be not? So the whole key is to come back to yourself, to that silence, and then it blossoms from your inner silence. So clear and so clean, perfect in the moment, and playful. That's the mystery. And that's what it is to be with the mystic. You become silent, and in the silent, you connect with your inner silent. And out from the silent, life itself, creativity, joy, comes forth. It's bound to happen if you go deeper. Everything comes from silence. If you are too much there, then that tremendous force cannot come forth. You have to get out of the way so some bigger, some kind of presence can come through you. That's the meaning of being a hollow bamboo. Then God can play his flute on you, no? There is crazy one. During Makala meditation, I came in contact with something really crazy, an energy and a remembrance that felt very powerful and meaningful. Could you say something about Makala and crazy wisdom? Love and eternal gratitude, Mappa. I'm not crazy, you are crazy. Everything here, Mappa, and for everybody, is for in some way or the other for you to remember, to connect again with yourself. And whatever way that come up, that's why it doesn't really matter what, if it comes up in the Makala, which I wanted to make because all these traditions is very close to me, but we didn't have anything like that, and it's very primal, and it's to connect to the primal energy in you. Like a Latihan, you have all the meditations, you forget yourself. So whatever way, if that is in Makala, or if it's in breathing, or if it's in dancing, or if it's in singing, it's all for that purpose. And then when you forget yourself, then you remember something else, something bigger than you. So if that is through the singing or through the dancing, or through the kirtan, or through the humming, or through the breathing, or through the silence, that doesn't matter. And of course, You have so many different energies in you. So different things can be woken up in different meditations or at different times on your journey. But this makala is very powerful, and makala, that means, maha means great, and kala means time. So it's the great time, the god of great time. But not only great time, it means beyond time. It's the master of time, beyond time. And makala is black, because it's darkness, no? But not black as negative, black absorbs all the colors. And makala has many skulls, like a mala. He has a mala of skulls. It looks very vicious, terrifying. But all those heads symbolize your ignorance, your fear, your jealousy, your anger. Your doubts, your conflicts, your anxiety. All these malas of skulls, it means, no, makala, you have a god that can take all that away from you. They kills the ignorance. That's what makala can do. All the gods is there to take away your ignorance, to make you clear. So it's very terrifying that even the bad spirit is afraid. But if you become friend with makala, Durga is another symbol, or in India, a female. It can be very terrifying, but they are there to stop your ignorance. And when your ignorance is gone, then you only can you connect with your creativity, with your joy, with your clarity. So it is a great idea. You have to go beyond time. And that is what meditation is. And that's what happened to you doing it. I felt very powerful and meaningful. Everybody has a tremendous power because you are part of everything. But we live so little and so afraid and so shallow. How can we show the power? You don't need to show anything, but you have to experience it. Because knowing that is there, knowing that the power is there, that the meaning is there, that the love is there, that the truth is there, everything falls into the right place. Then the whole life becomes a play then. You know more. You know your true nature. That is what the meaning is. I am crazy, and that's why I created this meditation. I wanted, because some people come from different pasts, and you have been connected with different meditations and paths before. So for some, they think it's totally crazy, nothing is happening. For some others, they feel dancing is great. For others, they feel, why dance? You can just sit. It's easy to be silent. It has a lot to do with what you have been doing in your past lives. And I know as you come deeper and at the right time, then that will remembrance will again appear, that this, you connected to it again. And that is what happened. during my Kala meditation, I came in contact with something really crazy, an energy and remembrance that felt very powerful and meaningful. And what is more powerful than this Mahakala God? So if you have any contact with that energy or those meditation from the past, then that will be awakened again. But of course you have to be in a certain state in yourself. Everything will come up. And the more you remember, the more free you are in this life, because it's much more than just now. So when you are undisturbed by what is happening in your life, means when you have peace, when you are centered in yourself, when you are steady, then maybe many memories from the past will come up from past lives. But if they come when you are unconscious, then it's too confusing. Sometimes it happens. Little children remember their past life, and it's very difficult. Because that is not mama and papa. You remember something different. You were living in a different place. So it's something that shouldn't happen in nature, but sometimes it happens. And then they can have a hard time. But when you are clean and when you see your bigger consciousness and you can just be a witness, then these memories can come more forth. And that gives you a great freedom in this life because you see it more like a witness. You are not so identified. You are not so narrow. You are not so little. You felt very powerful and meaningful. Could you say something about Mahakala and crazy wisdom? They always had this type of crazy wisdom, especially in Tibet, in China also, in India also. We were talking about Zen masters, they also. It means that they are not part of the traditions. Anything can happen because they are spontaneous. And only those that is connected or have gone to some depth in themselves, they are crazy enough to follow them. They will try to transform you. They will try to make you remember. This remembrance, what you say, that has always been a word of the mystics because they want you to take away your mind and all your identifications of who you think you are so you can remember the real. And then you remember something very powerful then. And this Mahakala, that is a very primal thing. It's just to let go, forget yourself, feel the energy, and then maybe you will connect again with something primal in you. Something powerful, something innocent, something pure. And what is more meaningful than that? It's the same as you do Vipassana. You can connect with the silence, with the stillness. It's just another angle. It is great in Tibet and India, they have made all these different gods and goddesses because they all have a different meaning, like this Mahakala. In the West, people can't understand that at all. But you have to go beyond time to see your reality. Even Jesus, but Jesus, remember that he got his wisdom also from the East. His disciple asked, how will it be in the kingdom of God, in your father's home? He said, there will be no time. There will be no time. That is totally unheard of. What does that mean? Is it like a San Juan? It means you have to stop. You have to come into the present. You have to connect. You have to be real. You can't dream. You can't be in the mind. Then the kingdom of God is here. And that is what the mystics have been trying to do again and again in so many techniques to bring you into the moment. All the techniques is for that, to again remember. Remember who you are in different ways. And it's great because that which is sacred can come in many, many different ways. And all, if the master is not a little crazy and wild, then I would think it's very boring. But I was spoiled because my master, he disturbed the whole world. But he was also so sane. It was a great combination. But in the old days, most masters are from this crazy wisdom. They were just crazy. They behaved crazy. Not they were crazy. They were enlightened, but they behaved very crazy in the eyes of the world. That's why they called it crazy wisdom, because it looked crazy. It looked wild. We were talking about Dharmapura, the cat. Then he must have followed Bodhidharma. Bodhidharma went to China from India with the message. But the message of Buddha has already come to China many hundred years before Bodhidharma. But Bodhidharma was the real thing. So only when Bodhidharma came, then the message of the Buddha really came, because he was a Buddha. It wasn't just the transcripts, the rolls, the books. So he changed the whole Buddhism in China because he was alive. He was a fire. But they say that the emperor, he was already a very devoted Buddhist. And he have heard that this great master from India was coming, from the homeland of Buddha himself. And he was waiting for him on the border. And then when Bodhidharma came, he asked him, I have built so many temples and Buddha statues and stupas and taken care of the Buddhists. What kind of merit? What kind of good karma will I get from all this? And Bodhidharma said, nothing. And the emperor was totally in shock. Nobody behaved like that. If you are a man of power in the world, everybody wants to please you. Yeah, it is very good. Yeah, you're going to get very high in the heavens. No, Bodhidharma, no bullshit. And then the emperor asked, and who are you telling me this? And he said, I don't know. And then he walked away. This is totally crazy. He didn't even give it a try to explain anything. He was just totally himself. This is not for the masses, this kind of wisdom. You have to see it true. Then afterwards, the story is that the emperor heard, this was really the great Bodhidharma. And he is great, he's not crazy. And then the emperor wanted to get hold of him. Please send my man, I want to really learn from this man. Something had affected him. And then his servants and his prime minister said, no, it doesn't help. He will never come back. This Bodhidharma, only one chance. We know, we have heard that he will not come back. He will not talk to you again. And that's another great sign. Only one chance you have. Then the master sees where you are, if you wasted time or not. He wasted the time with the great master. What will be my merit? How much will I gain? Who can gain? Your ego, your respect. No, they don't play that. They want to shock you so you wake up, so you see yourself. There's another story. Then he came also, and a great emperor was there. And then he had this one shoe on the foot and one shoe on the head. He managed to go there to meet the emperor with one shoe. One of his shoes was on the head. Like, namaste, how are you? And the emperor was just totally... He couldn't believe it. What kind of guy was this? What can you think about this? These are people are crazy. But they do it on purpose because they are not interested. They want people who can see deeper, who feel something. Not how they appear, not even what actions they have. They can behave very crazily. They are very respected in Tibet, in China, in India. But it's less and less because the society is getting so modern. So very good. Do the Mahakala. And it's also, this meditation is best when it's dark, so it's perfect for now in the winter. In fact, most of meditation should be done in a dark room because then you're more with yourself. So if you have a friend like Mahakala, you are all safe. But you can only be friends with him when you go beyond your mind and your fear and your anxiety. That's what they are there for. That's what the gods are there for. That's what the masters are there for. To cut this holding, your identification and your anger and your jealousies and your conflicts and your fears. And that you can only cut when you go so deep that you realize that it's not there. It's not you.